Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I want to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wild Dove. My co-hosts are Weaver of Dreams and Poetic Picasso and Gray Eye Smith. We're waiting for Katie to get a link hopefully soon because she's my right hand to assign readers and put up poems. So while we're waiting for that, I will keep checking the phone line. And I also will keep looking to see if we can get her connected. But I do have a caller. Caller 585, is this Laurent?
Mademoiselle Lu Yu, enchanté.
Good evening, Waffle. I mean, Phantom.
How you doing?
Welcome to the show. I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm a little confused about what's going on tonight in terms of... I put up a poem. That's gone.
Yes.
But something else replaced it, but I believe it's already been read. I don't know.
I don't know, but we can go ahead and do it. It's not
because I just got
problem.
A front page pick the other day I could put in if you want.
Is it for this month?
Just got it the other day, yeah.
Yeah, I have a list for I'm still collecting all of November to the end of November to be read in December. So,
okay. You
know, I'll collect the whole month, but you can put up another poem. I'd be happy to have that. Or you can do both and we'll read it both times.
I already did Internal Chaos on the radio, so I'll just replace it with the other one. No problem. Let's go ahead.
Okay.
Let's move forward.
That's okay. All righty. Let me tell you a little about ourselves. This group is Late Night Poets. You can find us on allpoetry.com. And also, this radio shows were supported by poets who donated their poems for the many arrangement of books from the different groups that we have each night. And you can find us on Amazon. And it's just like our group name, Late Night Poets Anthologies. Go check them out. They make beautiful gifts. And I have another caller. Let me check. Who this is? Caller 715. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Lou. Hi, Lawrence. It's Pam. I thought I would join
Hi,
in the
Pam.
Fun tonight.
Hello,
oh,
Pam.
Oh, great. So happy to have you. Do you know how to send a phone link to Weaver?
You know what? She messaged me, and I just did that about 30 seconds ago, so she should be joining us shortly.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to get started until Katie's able to call in. We'll start with the top of the poem, the poem list, and let me go ahead and pick it up. And we are reading poems from a Rumi quote that I had put up, and it's "The Wound is the Place Where the Light Enters You" by Rumi, and that's what everybody wrote for. And so we're going to be reading those poems in open poetry. So let me check my phone line, see if she's got on yet. No, not yet. And let me go ahead and pick up the first poem. Give me just a second, because I'm not quick. I got an old computer that just chugs along. And welcome, welcome, Pam. So happy to have you with us. Okay. And the first poem is by Swan Song. And I would love for you to read this poem, Laurent.
All right. Refresh. Okay. In the core of our bones, I touch you into the melting of desire, press against your body until the aria of your voice sings in double songs of deep ecstasy, where unknown words glitter out like bird songs on a balmy spring morning. Whispers interposed by the susurration of lips, wet and trembling. Skin as I glide across yours, two lonely feet on a voracious sea of the most carnate hunger. Let the dove of your passion soar into the scion of my sky and sift through clouds of gloomy tantalizations. With limbs entangled, pulses rise, then fall, only to peak again. We learn the idiom of our moans in deepest core of our bones. End quote.
Well, that was a gorgeous read, Laurent. And, you know, Swan, he always puts such beautiful imagery in here. I really love that second stanza where you read whispers interposed by the serration of lips wet and trembling across my skin. I glide across yours, two lovely skiffs on a voracious sea of the most carnate hunger. And you could just see how violent the sea can get and that hunger that you have for somebody that just makes you tremble, and the passion that you have for them that just like waves pounding against the sea. This was gorgeous, and a gorgeous read. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. You know, I just really enjoy and appreciate Swan Song's writing, especially when he does sensuality and adds nature into it. And this is great all the way through. It's a wonderful expression of sensuality and love. But, you know, I especially like, let the dove of your passion soar into the scion of my sky and sift through clouds. And then I have to say, I have a bit of poetry envy at the line, idiom of our moans. You know, that just so well expresses the reflection of the prompt. So beautifully written and very well done.
I agree. Thank you. And what did you think of the poem you read, Laurent?
Oh, I liked it a lot. There is an intimacy in the way that Swan Song writes, whispers interposed by the susurration of lips, wet and trembling across my skin as I glide across yours. And here he uses the metaphor of two lonely skiffs, which I think works well. Have you ever seen two small boats, rudderless, without people on them, floating? They somehow tend to float together, even without people around. It has something to do with surface tension, et cetera. But I thought it was very clever of him to use it that way. Nice piece.
I agree. Thank you, thank you. And I want to welcome to the show my right-hand lady, Katie Weaver-Dream.
Hello. Wow. As
Hello,
usual.
Darling.
Hello. I'm late, but I'm here.
That's okay. Thank you, thank you. And I want to thank Pam for getting that link for me because I was starting to hyperventilate. It's not even a Wednesday.
I know.
Oh,
terrible.
My goodness. Were you able?
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Better late than never, as they say. Did you get to hear the poem that Laurent just read, our first poem on the list?
No, I didn't. I just managed to get in as you unmuted me, basically.
Okay.
So I'm sorry I missed it.
Okay, that is fine and dandy. I'm going to hand the reading board back over to you now. I did the first one. And now we can work our way down and open poetry. Next hour. We're ready.
Okay. The next one up is 16718780, A Tra-La-La Poetry by Joy. So do you want me to... I'll read this since I've just arrived. Give me a second.
Okay.
A Tra-La-La Poetry. Joy and joy. Lovely. Little things are great gifts, yet full of charm indeed. Like shining little branch, also cute. Trinket's secret treasured, a duckling with an umbrella, and the duck discreet loops, the watercolor sky measures. Two girls stay side by side, near the stove, without a fire. Blue look just pretty nice, undress me, such eyes. Thy look started to burn me, says the other pretty girl. She seems so unyielding, to clear up this confusion. He didn't even look at her, however. His platonic love was this soul with breasts who frowned but still smiles. Romantic lie of René Girard and some other to think there isn't spontaneous love. However, it is but really hard. Something else make better we wait at the end of this court. About mimesis, romantic love, try to write a seminar paper. End poem.
Oh, beautiful read, Katie. Thank you so much. A lovely poem, Joy. Let's get some comments. What did you think, Laura? Lauren?
Gabbing away on mute. Yes, indeed. Such a pleasure.
That's okay.
All right. I don't know Joy and Joy, but I like the poem that I see here. For example, Trinket's secret treasures, a duckling with an umbrella, and the duck discreet looks, the watercolor sky measures, and on. It's nicely done. It has its own style. and it's very effective.
I agree. That was my favorite stanza, too. I also liked when you look at somebody and it says, two girls stay side by side near the stove without fire. Your look just pretty nice and dress me with such eyes. You know, when you're standing next to somebody and it's not the fire that's heating up the room, it's the attraction, the young attraction that you have for each other and how the eyes can speak so many different languages. I thought it was beautiful, but I did love that duckling. It made me giggle when I heard Katie reading it. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, it's intriguing, right? Really a creative use of fun imagery, like you guys said, the duckling. And it's interesting that, you know, I really liked the thought of the romantic Rene Girard and some others who think there isn't spontaneous love, however it is, but really hard. The idea to me that puts through is that love comes in different forms, and we shouldn't, you know, mock what just because we haven't experienced it because somebody else has. So just a thoughtful voice and very well done.
I really agree with your point, and that was such a good point that comes in all forms. I agree with that, and you know, it's not us to judge. And, you know, it's just great to see somebody, whoever they are and whatever race you are, whatever sex you are, and that fire that burns at first and then it just keeps burning for years. You know, that is just something to be treasured. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Some of these stanzas are pretty. It seems to be just a very sweet poem about, well, basically the chap is not looking for the kind of love that the pretty girl, that the second pretty girl wants. He looks for a platonic relationship. So obviously, yeah, it looks as though he's in the middle of these two ladies, but he's not really interested in anything other than conversation, perhaps. But that's kind of my take on it. And thank you very much for sharing that. Joy and joy. It was nice.
Yeah, thank you. I love listening to everybody's comments because sometimes they trigger a different pathway of thought of the poem I didn't see, and that is why I love it so much when I get to hear everybody's comments. And Katie, we are ready for the next poem.
Okay. This one is Sentinel by Baudou. Laurent, could you read this, please?
Yes, and I'm off mute. This is called Sentinel by Budo. A black beast caws thrice, neath Nick's brimming maw. Once for a life lived, twice for existence no more, and lastly, for that which will not be. Because on this Hallows Eve, the dispatched and dearly departed will know of no future's past, but only of present's failings. To squander ill-fated flight, damned in deeming empty promises, to elicit dust in the receding memories of a bygone flicker of hope, sepulchred in the dampness of a musty tomb. Forgotten but for last rites, ordained by the branch sentinel on a rain-soaked diadic passage that the infernal know all too well. Valet, fare thee well. End poem.
Uh-huh. I really loved how you read this poem. As, you know, this is different for me because I haven't actually read anything dark by Budo, but I was looking at his author's notes that he says that then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and the stern decorum of the countenance it wore, though thy crest be shorn and shaven, though I said art sure no craven, ghastly grim and ancient raven wandering. You know, He not only can he write music, he can write such darkness that just pulls you in. And, you know, it's just a different, it's different for me to see him because he always writes such beautiful love and also sad songs that he sings. But this was, you know, such a creepy storytelling. The visuals were dark. The writing was fantastic. I like when Laurent got to the ending and just, like, filled that tune shut. What did you think, Laurent?
Well, like you said, Budo doesn't write a lot of dark, but after reading this, I'm definitely looking forward to the next dark that he's able to combine his songwriting skills with poetry like this. I mean, that's kind of special. For me, the entire poem certainly recalls Poe. The last two stanzas, the last two full stanzas, I thought were just fine. Even though I have no idea what diotic means, mispronounced it as mouth. But great piece.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Laurent. How about you, Pam?
Yeah, I think this one is just absolutely beautiful. It's wonderful darkness. I really like that he brings in that he's inspired by Poe's The Raven, but you can see the reflection of the inspiration, but you can also see in it Budo's own style. I like how he brings in the Greek goddess of the night, Nyx, and shows us the raven as the guardian and messenger of death. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Weaver?
Oh, yes, very nice dark write. That picture is absolutely beautiful. I think I may print that and just get it on my wall. It's so nice. Yeah, beautifully written. I like the fact that he brings in the raven. It is a raven, isn't it? Yes. Brings in the raven once for a life lived, twice for existence, no more. And lastly, for that which will not be. That just has a lovely stanza. That gives you an idea immediately of what's going on. And I thought it was absolutely lovely. Yeah. Sepulchred in the dampness of a musty tomb. Oh, that's so black, dark and dank.
Yeah,
so, yes,
you can see the wetness on the walls. And that's what makes it so eerie.
Mm-hmm. I do love that.
Yeah.
He's written this piece of beautiful black dark poetry very well. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you. All right, Katie, ready for the next one?
Here we have A Gift
of
Healing.
Oh, you're quick tonight, girl.
I've got three screens going here. So if I get lost at any point, you'll probably never hear about me again. Yes, A Gift of Healing by Blue Raven. And Pam, would you like to read this, please?
I would be happy to. All right. A Gift of Healing by Blue Raven. We were bleeding, you and I, lost and grieving, worn out by our efforts to stay afloat when drowning seemed the better option. I hid my wounds when we met, turned a sympathetic eye to yours instead. But you knew where I ached without my telling, touching my scars with gentle fingers, soothing painful bruises with your kisses. Wounds reopened as our stories unfolded, and we stumbled together towards clarity, sometimes blinded by love's light, but always astounded by its gifts of healing. End poem.
Well, that was such a beautiful read, Pam, and such an emotive poem by Blue Raven. What I liked about it was, you know, how sometimes when we meet somebody, we don't always open up so quickly when we meet them. And when somebody, you know, I think it takes somebody special to withhold your pain, to put soothing words and just kindness to open yourself up to them, because that moment you forget about yourself. But when you're able it, like in this stanza, wounds reopened as our stories unfold and we stumble together towards clarity. When you know that you can finally have, you have something in common and you can trust this person where you're bearing your souls to each other. And, you know, it's that that shared pain that lightens sometimes our path when we couldn't see it, and it does heal. This is beautiful. What did you think, Laurent?
This is such a fine piece.
Mm-hmm.
The opening, we were bleeding, you and I, lost in grieving, worn out by our efforts to stay afloat when drowning seemed the better option. I found it to be absolutely fascinating way to begin it, because it immediately tells you what's going on in this story. You know, when two people meet each other, and, you know, I'm going to paraphrase basically what you said, because I thought your comment was excellent, but when two people meet each other and they're both wounded, yet both hiding the wounds, mm-hmm. and then slowly they uncover each other's scars and open wounds, things that are still bothering them, and are able to come together and provide healing to each other, is just one of the great benefits of love, just from fantastic. And it's voiced so well in this contest entry.
Great. Wonderful comment, Ron. Thank you. And how about you, Pam?
This is beautiful and brilliant all the way through. I really appreciate and enjoy how it speaks on the idea of healing together, and the way that love can have that healing effect. I really did, out of the whole part, the whole poem, the one part that stood out to me the most was, wounds reopened as our stories unfolded and we stumbled together towards clarity. And because that part reminds us that, you know, sometimes we have to open up the wound and hurt more before we can complete that healing process. So excellent write and very well done.
Great. Thank you, Pam. Excellent comment. How about you, Katie? What did you think of Blue Raven's poem?
Oh, I agree that everything was there in that first stanza to tell you what you were expecting from there on in. And I take it more as, and I'm sure you do as well, I take it more as being mental anguish, mental problems rather than physical. That's kind of the way I got it anyway. That's what I took from it. And as you say, it's wonderful if you can find somebody that you can open up to that effect and you can say exactly what your problems are. Because a lot of times, friction and problems within relationships are because the other person doesn't know what sparks your reactions, and you don't know what makes them tense and uncomfortable until you actually talk about it and say, well, this happened to me, and you know, and I was mm-hmm. that age. And yes, so I thought this was beautifully written because it took you right to that point where two people found each other, and I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, that's a blessing to find somebody like that that you can talk to personally about your problems and that they keep them and understand, because, you know, you can put your hand upon the other person's heart and they on yours. Agreed. Okay, Weaver, beautiful poetry. We're ready for our next poem.
Ah, unmute. Next one is Darkness Shine by Angel Hayes. And Lou, would you like to read this one, please?
Yes, I would. Thank you. Dark Shine by Angel Hayes. You can't stop the sunrise, moonlight. You can't evade the scars of time. Can't leave or hide. Can I be lost within your eyes? Never again leave my sight. Lost in love isn't a crime. Let me be your guide. Wounded souls shine the brightest, rays of sinful nature. Like a god, you fell of grace. Like a devil, you rise again. Take your pick of sight. See the good in the future. Carve your fate on a deathless face. Your journey will begin now. In poem. Fantastic poem, Angel Hayes. What did you think, Laurent?
This is a very spiritual poem. Wounded souls shine the brightest rays of sinful nature. Like a god, you fall of grace. Like a devil, you rise again. And in that stanza, he really looks at the two extremes of individuals and invites her to, or him, to take your pick of sights, see the good in the future, carve your fate on a deathless face. That is excellent poetry. And you really get the feeling across of, again, what love can be.
Great. Excellent comment, Marat. And Pam, what did you think of Angel's poem?
Yeah, this is beautiful. And I really like the imagery and metaphors that she chooses to use, especially the references, as Lauren said, to a god and a devil. But my absolute favorite lines were, can I be lost within your eyes? Never again leave my sight. Lost in love isn't a crime. Let me be your guide. I like that, how that speaks on not only love, but of trust. So excellent write and very well done.
Agreed. Thank you, Pam. And how about you, Katie?
Yes, there's another beautiful poem about love and about trust. I don't know why, but I love, wounded souls shine the brightest, rays of sinful nature. Like a god, you fell of grace. Like a devil, you rise again. So this is somebody seeing the good and the bad in a person and accepting it for what it is. And just basically starting off from this point, traveling onwards. Yes, I thought that was absolutely lovely. I thought it was a wonderful write. And thank you, Angel Hayes, for sharing.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's just the imagery here, and it's true. We can't stop the sun from rising. We can't block moonlight. You know, the pain that we experience in life is just something that we have to carry with us. But in that second stanza, you know, I really love Boyle. He says, you know, journey, I will help you journey through this. And when somebody, you can just fall into their eyes, the sight of their eyes, and knowing that they will never leave you, you know, and allowing them, you know, in your path when you're in pain, sometimes you need someone to take your hand. You can't do anything about how you feel, but it does matter how you can rise. And, it, you know, I really liked where he says that your, you know, that last stanza, especially the one that Laurent read at the ending sentence where he says your journey will now begin. So, you know, sometimes it takes the love of someone special to help us find a different path. This was just beautiful. Thank you, Angel. And just a minute, Katie, before you go, we got some callers. Caller 512, who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so happy you're back and feeling better. Did you get to hear the poem? Thank you.
I was able to read the poem afterwards. I was dying, I wasn't able to hear it, but I did read it. I thought the poem mm-hmm. was very emotive, very strong imagery. You know, the whole notion of it seemed like a personification of a lover there, invoking there. I like the way the metaphors just were so graceful in seeming. I like the way that he describes it as a journey in the end, a deathless faith. It's just a powerful poem. It's a beautiful, beautiful write.
Great. Thank you, Frank. And I'd also like to welcome to the show one of our other radio hosts, Gray Eyes. Hi, Gray.
Hi, Lee. Hi, Frank.
Gray. There you are.
I don't know.
Welcome, welcome. Did you get to hear the poem?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll catch you on the next one. Okay. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to you, Katie.
Thank you. We have My Wounds Drink in Light from the Sun and Moon by M.J. Donnelly.
Mm-hmm. And we have a recording for that. And give me just one more minute. We have another caller 770. Who am I speaking with?
It's me, Fallon.
Hey, darling. How you doing?
Good. I thought I could join you guys for a little bit.
Well, always happy to have you, sweetheart.
Absolutely.
Always a great, yes. So Katie just put up a link by MJ Donnelly. And Gray Eyes, do you want me to play it, or do you want to see if you can get it?
I can get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Gray.
Okay. You bet. Here we go.
My Wounds Drinking Light from the Sun and Moon by MJ Donnelly. To mend and cleanse soul and body in pain, my hurts need the healing of a monsoon. Like dried cracked earth gulping down a hard rain, my wounds drinking light from the sun and moon. I wear my scars proudly like they were gifts. More and more lately, my spirit's in tune. The years with wisdom are narrowing rifts. My wounds drinking light from the sun and moon. Much like devout sage reaching to the stars, like a new life coming out of cocoon. Nearly imperceptible are my scars, my wounds drinking light from the sun and moon. To mend and cleanse soul and body in pain, my wounds drinking light from the sun and moon.
Oh, my goodness. That was just a fabulous poem by MJ Donnelly. And I did hear Pam mention this on one of her shows, so I'm going to copy and steal from her. If you can't call in, you can always send a recording so we can hear the poem read in your own voice. And, you know, it just really makes a difference. And this is the first time I've heard MJ's voice, and it was pure joy to listen to him read this poem for Rummy. And let's go ahead and get some comments. What did you think, Laura?
Excellent piece. I like MJ Donnelly. He writes well. The repetitive line, my wounds drink in light from the sun and the moon, is as always an effective device. But in the background, here's a gentleman who understands how important light is in terms of science and health. And what we derive from the light is wonderfully healing physically, not just emotionally. But then he turns and he takes that text and basically crafts a poem around I really enjoy, much like devout sage reaching to the stars, like a new life coming out of cocoon, nearly imperceptible are my scars, my wounds drinking light on the end. He has the scars, but they're much reduced. Really excellent piece.
Yes, I agree. You know, I did also love the repetitive lines because it helps you see what he's attaining for, that spiritual need to have the thirst in your body cleanse him. We can't do anything about a lot of the pain we suffered or the hurt we had, but, you know, there's just something about nature where we find healing. I have this huge sage plant that I grow, and, you know, we grab it by the stem just in our hands and inhale it, and it's just something when you're in the sunlight, it gives you this peace and enlightenment. It just nourishes the body, and just like the sun and the moon do. I thought this was gorgeous. Thank you for an excellent comment. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful, and he did a wonderful read of it. I do like how it speaks on the idea of light and the healing that comes from it. And the line that stood up to me the most was, my hurts need the healing of a monsoon. And I like how that line there speaks on the idea of that we have to go through the storm oftentimes before we can reach the light that can heal us. So excellent light and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Wonderful comment. How about you, Katie?
Oh, I lost my mic. Hello. Oh, yes. Ah, yes. I thought this was very... It goes all right. Anyway, yes, yes, sorry. I always do that. I do apologize for going off at a tangent. Yes, I think this was incredibly deep. And I could, funnily enough, I could actually feel the pain that this particular poem invokes. At the same standard as you quoted, to mend and cleanse the soul and body in pain, my heart needs the healing of a monsoon. I love the way this poem is taking the weather, the earth, what happens to the earth, as a metaphor for what's happening to them. I thought, I actually noticed a metaphor. Wow. I'm very pleased. Yes. I know. I'm learning as I go along. It's wonderful. Maybe by the time I reach 80, I'll be able to write like everybody else as well. But yes, to bend and cleanse soul and body in pain, my wounds drinking light from the sun and moon. I love that. I mean, I love moonlight. I'm not, you know, I would rather have moonlight than sunlight because it just fits dark and soft and warm to me. It's a personal thing, obviously. But I think this is, I thought it was beautifully written.
Great.
Thank you for sharing. I'm mumbling again.
No, you did. You did fantastic. Thank you, Katie. And what did you think, Frank?
Yes. I thought, first of all, I thought it was a fantastic rendition there, a great read. I really thought as well this was a poem, a spiritual poem here that really was enlightening as well. The aspects of nature introduced in this poem was remarkable. But I like the kinship here as well between nature and him, what he offered here in this poem. The repetition of the emphasis of what is, you know, the whole notion of the sun and the moon. And it's better than what one receives from it is always to be applauded. I thought he did a fantastic job in this poem, and I was completely enthralled with the metaphors and his narrative as well.
Great. It was beautiful. Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Gray?
You.
He did a fantastic read on it, and I also like the nature aspect of it, you know. We are our environment, and we curl up and die in the darkness, I think. So light is definitely a healer and giver of life. So a beautiful write, an excellent read.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Helen?
I enjoyed it as well. The read was very nice. It has a very nice speaking voice. What really stuck out to me the most is the exposure that we expose ourselves to life. And not only that, the exposures of, the elements of nature, or, you know. So I think this is great. It's basically talking of the skin as if it was like the bark of something, that the things that we expose ourselves to in life, where we're going to take on wounds, we're going to take on wrinkles, we're going to take on new parts of aging. And yet at the same time, we can still find mending and a natural cure to ourselves by basically being ourselves. And exposing ourselves to ourselves. So this is just absolutely, the metaphors are amazing. And I too was involved with the my knees hurt healing of a monsoon, because to me a monsoon just wipes everything away and gives it a fresh start. So excellent write and read.
Yeah, everything grows like crazy after a monsoon. The moistness in the air. Yeah, fantastic comments, everyone. Since we have so many callers, what we're going to do is we're going to do 3 comments per poem, so we can get to a lot of excellent poetry tonight. Okay, ready to go, Katie.
Okay. Oh, this is a wonderful title. Wounded Wonders by Keith Pilthrop. Can't do it. Gray, would you like to read this, please?
Sure. Okay, here we go. Wounded Wonders by Keith Pailthrop. Though I have never seen my eyes as wounds, they are open. They are an open passage for the light, and they are the wounds that I would never heal and plunge myself into perpetual night. The starkest scene of all things man hath writ was that wherein old Gloucester's eyes were torn from out his head by Cornwall and his wife, and left to wander eyeless and forlorn. So solitary Albert was a wound that gave us light to light our errant way. On his shoulders we stand, lightly poised, to glimpse a brave new world, a brightest day. So many wounds have shown us who we are, a thinking thing at best, and never more. The light we see casts shadows upon the wall that we must strive to capture and explore. We close our wounds at peril to ourselves. There is no path but light defines our way. Darkness is its own descent into hell, and heaven knows the devil doesn't play. End poem.
Thank you, Gray. That was nicely read. Excellent poem by Keith Palthrop. I really love this stanza here that Gray read that Keith wrote. So many wounds have shown us who we are, a thinking thing at best and never more. The light we see casts shadows on the walls that we must strive to capture and explore. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, the pain that we're suffering is something that we have to look in deeper, maybe something that has happened to our past or it's in our behavior. And we have to open those wounds to clean them, to take out, you know, the infection or the necrosis flesh. And, you know, and it hurts and it bleeds. And, you know, sometimes what we've gone through, it does cast shadows on the wall, but sometimes we have to capture and explore them to see how we can move forward. And what did you think about the poem, Narat?
Really somewhat brilliant. That first stanza, though I have never seen my eyes as wounds, they are an open passage for the light, and they are wounds that I would never heal and plunge myself into perpetual night. The seeing of something horrible or the seeing of something wonderful, he sees as a wound carried by the light. When you see all things good and all things bad through your eyes, to disavow what they have seen would indeed close our wound at peril to ourselves, something I don't think you should ever do. Wonderful, wonderful piece.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And Pam, what did you think? Pam, you're on mute? Okay, I think Pam might have dropped. Okay, Katie, would like to have a comment. What did you think?
Oh, yes, this is another beautiful piece of work. So many wounds have shown us who we are, a thinking thing at best and nevermore. The light we see casts shadows on the wall that we must try to capture and explore. So yes, you need to look into yourself. You need to delve into those parts that you don't really want to face before you become that whole person that you can be if you accept your own frailties and deal with your own problems. So I think that's I don't know if you've ever seen a child who sees their shadow for the first time, and it literally scares them, it frightens them. They're thinking, what the heck is this following me? You know, why is this following me? So you can see that it's not always easy to face those things. We need to be true within ourselves. I can't kid myself. No matter what I might say to somebody else about my reactions, I can't kid myself. I've got to be true to myself. But I thought this was beautifully, beautifully written, and thank you, Keith, for sharing.
Yes, there was this little girl. She kept turning around and looking at her shadow and running. And every time she turned around to see the shadow, and she would scream and just keep running and then turn around to see the shadow and just scream. Yeah. And then later on, they learned to play with it, you know, because you're like your Peter Pan. Excellent comment, Katie. And we are ready for our next poem.
Oh, sorry. I was okaying on mute, which doesn't work. So we have Notes from the Guilty 50 by Soliloquy. Gray, would you like to read this?
You mean Frank?
Yes, I probably do. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Corner right there, Lever. No problem there.
I didn't have your name. I just had the Notes from the Guilty 50 by
that's all right. It's okay.
Please. thank God you people are around. I could make a right mess of this. Thank you.
No, it's all right. This is a poem by Soliloquy. It's called Notes from the Guilty 50. It goes like this. There are succulent words like grapes of wrath that spur the angst of conceived thought, wrapped in dreams of hotted dreams, where maybe might be a stark reality, shared by those of hope immortality, and a sturdy rope strung from a rotten tree, awaiting the sins of hung men. In the poem.
Fantastic read, Frank, and this is such a dark poem by Soliloquy. What a haunting imagery and dark imagery in this. What did you think about the poem, Frank?
Yeah, I thought it was, although it was somewhat of a brevity of three stanzas, I thought he did a lot to really just give us the imagery there. He talks about the grapes of wrath to spur the angst, conceive thought. That's very, very creative there. But I like the whole darkness of this piece here. You know, when you think about, you know, the sturdy rope and strung from a rotten tree, you can't help but thinking about taking your own life there. You know, and he adds the lines there, awaiting the sins of hung men. This is really a poem that makes you think about where the darkness can take you and how your mind can really make you come to conceive those thoughts to take your life. That was a fantastic play of words as well. Great poem. Great read.
Agreed. Thank you. Thank you. How about you, Gray?
Well, you did an excellent job reading it, Frank. But I like the poem. You know, it's definitely filled with excellent, you know, one-liners. There are succulent words like grapes of wrath that spur the angst of conceived thought. I mean, that's an incredible opening. And then, you know, the ending is just as fabulous with, and a sturdy rope strung from a rotten tree awaiting the sins of hung men. I mean, that's just haunting. Beautiful rope.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Fallon? What did you think of Soliloquy's poem?
I really enjoyed this a great bit. I love brevity. Everybody knows that, of course. But what really stuck out to me is the fact that, you know, the succulent words of like grapes of wrath, blah, 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 and the anger is where he gets down. He says this, where maybe might be a stark reality. And that's just the bare presence of something, the bare presence of reality. And the reality is some people share their hopes of mortality, and that's when they – because then beyond the last one, it's where they're talking about the rotting tree from their sins, and that's back in the time when you did pay your life for sins. They did take your life for things that you did, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This is just a very dark rite, but also it's a eye-opening to what how we used to live our lives and perceive things. And, you know, sometimes people did swing by the tree. So this is an excellent rite.
Great. Thank you. Excellent comments and poetry. And Katie, you might have to refresh your board because Frank, and I don't know if Fallon put a poem on the board. If you don't refresh your page, you won't be able to see the update.
Yeah.
I've only got one front page for in November.
Okay. Did you add it to the reading list? Because we're going to be getting into open poetry shortly.
No, but I'll do that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go back to Katie and go to our next poem.
Yeah, I did actually have Frank's. I noticed I had a quick look to see who had what. Now I've lost what I was doing. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. Well, let's go ahead and read one more poem before we get into some poetry, the one by G.A.
Mm-hmm.
Grimm. Please?
Yeah, that is it there? Because that's what I had up. No, it's not. Okay.
No, I haven't seen it.
No.
No, it's disappeared again. Yes, I'm fine. I'm getting there. Nobody panic.
No, we're not panicking.
Where are you there? Where
I am.
It's a nice, slow Monday.
We'll send the ambulance afterwards there.
Here we are. We've got it. Scarred No Longer by J.A. Grimm. Now, is Gray able to read this one, or?
Oh, we have a recording.
The answer is. I was recording.
Yeah, we have a recording. Gray, can you please play G.A. Grimm? I haven't heard his voice either. It's going to be exciting.
Scarred No Longer by G.A. Grimm. These stains on my skin, the scars creating the legend, boldly etched to my map of mistakes, was once seen only as flaws, things best kept hidden, back when days were draped in darkness, before there was you, illuminating my world, showing me that each wound drawn was one more trial lived through, a thing to be celebrated. Though I now confess, I have a different view. They are precious marks, tallying my love for you.
Oh, that was a beautiful poem and recording by G.A. I really enjoyed this poem. You know, sometimes we are the worst enemies of ourselves, where we beat ourselves up worse than anybody that can beat us up. And when somebody takes our hands and holds them, at least to me, and it start illuminating the darkness that, you know, that you have been draped in, as he says here, illuminating my world, showing me that each wound drawn was more trial lived through, a thing to be celebrated. And, you know, sometimes we forget so much about the things that have made us strong and how we have gotten back up. But when somebody gets us back up and is a partner with us, that's even more special. And I really loved his ending stanza because, you know, it's when that person can take those scars and they soften them. And, you know, in some ways we forget about them and keep moving through. This was beautiful, G.A. And I loved your recording. It's the first time I heard your voice. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I have to echo virtually everything that you said. You stole my script. But let me say that this was written and delivered in a voice that was without guile, without poetic pretensions, without trying to be poetry. It just seemed to be delivered in an absolutely normal, heartfelt, to use Pam's phrase, way. And I just really, really appreciated that. It's a very believable poem. This comes from his heart.
Yes, I do. And great. Excellent comment, Laurent. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Was that me? Did
mm-hmm.
you say my name?
Yes.
Well, I'm
yes,
sorry.
I surely did.
Could you go on to somebody else for this particular moment? I'm trying to get this organized.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Frank, would you like to make a comment, please?
Oh, by all means. You know, this poem really did just touch me in the way of the admission, you know, the candor expressed in this poem. You know, we go through so much pain, we go through so much suffering, but we also go through the lessons of life and what we learn, the trials and tribulations. And I could see so concisely, so precisely in this poem, what the poet was conveying in those last lines in particular, where he says, though I now confess I have a different view, they are precious marks telling my love for you. That's very endearing. What one has to go through to actually realize what they've lost. So I thought this poem was just a fantastic, it was a beautiful poem as well. You know, it's a very heartfelt poem. Very expressive.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And you're not going to believe this. It's already been an hour. We're already into our open poetry. I just love you guys and your poetry and your comments. Katie, we're into the open poetry. And it's towards the bottom of the list. We have Laurent and Duke. And we have Brink. And we have Fallon.
Yeah, I've already got Laurent up and ready.
Okay.
Is there a SoundCloud for this, or aren't able to read it?
Yeah, I'm no right here to read it.
Yes, I know.
Got him live. Warm in the flesh.
There you go.
Yeah, disembodied voice and all. All right. This is called Can You Hear It? Electronica diversified, broken into elements that scourge the mind, offering resolutions of force, traveling neuron to neuron. Inescapable pathways establish governance. The road controls the traveler. Free will in absentia, all ruled by the beat. Comes at you like a hungry cyclops who only has eye for you. And what an eye, blinking in a large screen. All-seeing, lucid, guessing domination is the meal ticket. Grab him by the pellucidium, horns and ventricles, mind games. Earth ain't flat, it's hollow, a goblet that drinks you. Details to follow as the bird tweets its song. Worldwide pulse. Feel it. A hive mind collective, millions dying to the beat. Nothing like the empirical is there. Delusion paints reality. Van Gogh knew it all along. He heard the beat, died dancing to it. A gypsy in night flesh, helpless, slave to his pain. Consuming antithetical subterfuge of innocence, hollow log reverberating in thrall to the rainstorm. Can you hear it? End poem.
Fantastic. Laurent, would you please read your office notes?
A world tempo accented by a masochistic acceptance of a tidal wave of information, TV, newspaper, computer, phone, tablet, for Christ's sake, a toaster with media aspirations. Of course, there is theater, but that has a special good place in my heart. We follow strange paths.
You know, you've got such a fascinating personality of how you look at things. We are bombarded by all types of electrical devices. Even your toaster, your refrigerator, your doorbell, everything is activated by some type of electronics that we're all tied to. Even the doctor's offices who used to write everything by hand, everything is now, everything. All our information is on the computer now. And I really smiled when I heard you reading, comes at you like a hungry cyclops who only has eye for you. And what an blinking in large screen. You know, and we always see these movies where you can see people sitting on their couch with no emotion on their face, just transported into that big eye cyclops where they stay. I mean, they walk with the phones in front of them. They eat with the phones in front of them. It's just constant. And then the information, you know, you have to check to see if it's not crap that they're trying to get you to swallow. And I thought that was fantastic. Now, Katie, I know you didn't get to comment the last time. Would you like to make a comment this time?
Yes, of course. Thank you. I'm organized now. We're all right. So I did think this was wonderful. It's exactly what's happening to us. I actually wrote a poem about a poster that became sentient and took over running the whole office. Great fun. So, yes, I understand this can be quite a scary thing as well. A lot of people, I mean, if you think about it, you give us 5 seconds without electricity and we're lost. Would you know where to find the candles? You know, could you light a fire? So, yes, I think it's a wonderful thing, but it's a scary thing as well. If you, this one-eyed cyclops comes at you, it would be scary. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written. Thank you so much, Laurent. It was very deep, and my little head is getting hurting very quickly.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think, Ray, of Laurent's poem?
Well, you did a fantastic job reading it, Laurent. But I like it. You know, your interpretation of life in modern times is spot on, in my opinion. And I thought you did a great job of capturing that. So, well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Greg. And, Felon, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Oh, I loved it because, you know, I used to ask my grandmother, why do you put the toast in the oven and bake it that way? She goes, a toaster cannot do it the way that I do it. And she was right. It can't. It cannot get that precision just right. And I think we do depend too much entirely on things, and it takes away the thought process of us actually having critical mind or critical thinking skills. And, you know, some of us are not as sharp as we used to because we depend solely on too much of other things to do it for us. And like phone numbers, you know, I wouldn't know a phone number now if you asked me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be able to just rattle them off. And so it is, we are.
Yeah, how to memorize.
Everything. You know, now I'm like, oh, my God, my phone's dead. I don't know the number. I got to go see if I have a little phone book for it. But we do. We depend on too much of everything but ourselves. And I think we need to get back to the grassroots of ourselves and learn how to not depend so much on something else to make thoughts for us or to finish something that's excellent. Right. As always, Ron, you always are just magical when you do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. And Frank, would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I agree with what's been said.
We're losing you. Frank?
With metaphors, with of what poetry should be. You know, he takes you on an odyssey when he reads with his poetry. And I agree, so much has been forsaken because of modernization.
Yeah, it is.
Because of modernization. And I think that because of that, you know, we have left behind, you know, a bit of our own rational thinking too. There's only one item that I only think about that's dependent on, that I'm dependent on to some certain extent, and that's the Alexa there. So I thought it was a great poem.
Yeah, and how many movies have we all seen when the electricity shuts down, the massive panic? I mean, I would hate to be stuck in one of those New York elevators and the electricity go off.
I was stuck in an elevator once before.
I was too, and that is something you never forget. Oh, my goodness.
The floors, I mean, so.
Well, I was, and I had a good company, so I didn't mind.
I'm
just saying.
Now, is it?
Oh, man.
Obviously that.
There we go. And so we're back to you, Katie.
Okay, we have. You have to bear with me. I'm sorry, my voice is going again.
mine as well.
That's horrible, isn't it? My mouth is dry. Well, never mind what's dry.
Yeah, you have to have your bottle there, water there, Weaver, always.
Yeah, I have it with me, and it's not doing the slightest bit of good at the moment. I think it's just I've ruined my vocal cords. That's what's happened, all the coughing I did.
Are you singing it? Are you singing out loud?
No.
Yeah.
Going to rallies, going to soccer games and screaming your brains out.
Yeah. Well,
nothing
she's rapping now.
Yes. It's just, I seem to, I had a really bad cough and it's just done something horrible. Anyway, Felon, my dear, here we have yours, Heat Above the Fire.
Oh, I changed it because I thought it was the front page pick. I took that off because I just read that one. I do apologize.
Oh.
I can add the one I added if you wanted me to.
Yeah,
is
okay,
it Beauty?
Yes, Beauty
Is that
Lost.
The one
yes,
you're talking about, Phil? Okay,
yes,
we can get it for Katie.
No, I've got it. I've got it.
And
I apologize, ladies. I apologize.
Okay.
I mean, I could get y'all hot and steamy, but I really
All right.
Nice.
Let's see here.
It's like a Wednesday there, Felon.
Beauty Lost by Felon.
Okay. Let me refresh. And here we go. Beauty Lost by Felon. And it goes like this. Beauty lost, though never gained. Heaven cleansed the earth, showered by rain. Washing away death, evil has slain. Memories of yesterday saw life once lived. Absorbing morning dew, a new day as a gift. Light no longer shines from the rays of laughter. Only darkness finds happiness through wrong, one gathers. Led by actions illustrating beauty loss, denied any gain, no matter what repercussions or magnitude of cost. Drowning among the cold waters of sin, pooling unsteady waves made with broken men. Clinging to hope, counting on the heavens to cease its rain. Settling for beauty loss, though never again. End point.
I would like to ask you, because you usually have some reason why you write this. Why? What makes you write this poem, sweetheart? Mm-hmm, you know it.
It's for my granny Red. After she died, you know, she was just everything to me, and I thought that everything that was beautiful in life was gone. Everything that I gained in it, left that day, and I try to find some happiness in it. It took some time, but so. This was for my granny.
Yeah. I'm sorry, baby girl. I love you. It was really hard for me when my Nana died because even though she didn't know what I was going through, there was just some way that she nurtured me that I felt safe. You know, I knew I was safe with her. And when she died, it's a horrible loss. It's like a blow to your chest where you can't breathe. And, you know, the beauty isn't lost. It isn't, you know, till later when I think of her watching wrestling and she would be standing up. And
my granny, she watched wrestling.
McClare,
you piece of shit.
And then I could hear her. She loved to drink Pepsi, but there's this other soda she liked. It has a peppery taste to it. It wasn't Dr. Pepper, and it wasn't Pepsi.
RC Cola?
No, it wasn't root beer. RC. Got it, girl.
Yes.
She loved RC Cola, and she would take a big swig of it, and she'd put it down on the table, her little coffee table. Like there was a beer in a bar, and she'll go, "Qué rica!" You know, and it takes a while for those memories, you know, all those little bits of diamonds that they gave us, and it's like wearing a diamond halo and necklace of the things that they taught us and the things that they said and did. I can understand why you feel this way.
Well, she would always do this to me. I would tell her something, and she'd go, "Well, Amy, what you going to do?" And I would just make up stuff just to hear her say that because I love the way she would do it. She goes, "Well, Amy, what you going to do?" I'm like, "I don't know, Grandma. I don't know what we'll do. But you tell me." I just love to get her so excited, you know. And it would be just, I make up these lies like, "Grandma, you would not believe this guy. He come over here and only had on his underwear." She goes, "Oh, no, he didn't." And he did, but she believed it. You know, she believed every bit of it. So that's the things I miss, is the naive of it, and then just like, "Amy, what you gonna do?" So, yeah.
I do. I just miss going to eat at her house and her the way that she smelled, and you know, you always knew when she was cooking. because you could smell the pork chops and the enchiladas and lamb chops and all the different things that she would make. Nothing tasted better than grandma's food. And I haven't met anybody that can cook like her either. What a beautiful tribute to your grandma, Fallon.
Thank you.
And what did you think about this poem, Laurent?
This is a deeply personal piece. Beauty lost though never gained, heaven cleansed the earth showered by rain, washing away death evil had slain. And then, led by the actions illustrating beauty lost, denied any gain, no matter what repercussion or magnitude of cost. Fallon really captured that moment when we realized that somehow all is lost, although never personally gained. A large piece of your life has washed away, so to speak, and consolation comes from having had the relationship with your grandma to begin with. This is so touching.
Thank you, Laurent. Thank you so much.
Beautiful comment, Laurent. And Katie, what did you think?
Yes, there's nothing sweeter than the relationship you can have with your grandparents. You know, they don't have to be the parent as much as they did with your, you know, with your mother or father. They can be more relaxed because they can hand you back. You know, so you
That's
do have
true.
This. Yeah, you do have this special relationship with them and the wisdom that they bring as well. You know, I love hearing. I've never liked people telling me or giving me advice unless I ask for it. But with your grandparents, it's different because it's from love. They're trying to show you or tell you the possibilities of life and the things that can happen that could go wrong. So you can take that from them because it's more like a story than it is advice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think it's a very special thing. And this is a beautiful tribute to your grandma. It's beautiful. Thank you.
She was a remarkable woman. She got married at 14, believe it or not. And she said, her daddy said, "You cannot get me. I will not let you marry Ed unless you promise me you're going to finish school and go to college." And my grandmother actually went to school, finished school, went to college, and she's a midwife at what we call Grady Memorial here in Atlanta before she had ever had her first child. So that is remarkable in itself that she actually held up.
Wow.
And she is just 4'11". And spitfire and bozo red color hair, because she did it herself, and had a vocabulary that was not of that make you know grown men blush. That's where I got it from. She didn't care. She handled business, and that's where I get a lot of money from. And I'm named after her too. So that's probably even worse.
No,
that's not. No, it's not spitfire. It's nothing like that. And Greg, would you like to make a comment?
Sure. You know, you can feel the sense of loss in your right throughout the right. And, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, but it was a beautiful poem and well read.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
she's passed out for a while.
Oh. Frank, would you like to say anything?
Yes, I'll be brief here. You know, everyone has expressed the sentiments that we all could convey here of the sense of a loss of a loved one, you know, in this case, your grandmother. I've gone through this before, Cher. I've not been close. I've not been able to be present at those funerals. And traveling and what I do as an actress, well, it's taken me many places, but it also is taken away from many people that I loved and cared for, particularly my loved ones. This poem just brought those memories, conjured those memories to me, but I thought you did a fantastic job there, and I'm sure she's, wherever she's at, she's probably smiling at this moment, this consideration.
She's cooking somewhere.
There you go.
Cooking and gossiping.
Great poem. Great poem. You did a great job there, Fallon. Great poem.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. You're welcome. And we're ready for our next open poetry poem, Katie.
Okay, and we have "Each Man Kills the Thing He Loves" by Poetic Staccato.
All right, well, this is actually a front page pick, but it's okay. I'll read it. It's called it's a poem I wrote for my series for my those who know me of Oscar Wilde pieces, and this is one of those pieces that I wrote, and it was actually inspired by his actual quote there, "Each man kills the thing he loves." And it goes like this: "Each man kills the thing he loves. Some men do it with regret, some men do it with deceit. It is a terrible admission to accept that we must bear the burden of our woes and assume our guilt. Life can be many things, it can merely be the reflection of a man's sobering truth. For to love is the easiest thing, but to be loved is the hardest thing man must earn. He will either understand the nature of his humanity or ignore the qualities that make him humane. Love is the ambrosia that feeds men, and life is the elixir that intoxicates them. Fate is an ethereal light at dawn over the path man takes on his ultimate journey to discover himself. He will be successful or fail in his attempt, but he should never be content with his conformity. Man must learn to tame the beast within him, or be consumed in the savagery of his inhumanity. For he must first appreciate what he has or what he has lost, if he is to know the essence of happiness. He must plant the seed of love before he can see it grow. He must build that fountain before he can drink from it. Being a man is not what you destroy. It is what you build that will define your destiny. Nothing is ever to be taken for granted in life. Man must learn to not stain himself with false pride. Each man kills a thing he loves. Some men do it with ignorance. Some men do it with selfishness. I have killed the thing I loved with imbecility. But if it is pointless, when I cannot return to the path, no knowing of my future." End of poem.
You know, this is a very deep poem where, you know, each of us have to, when we take a journey in our life, you know, none of us are taught, have a book of 101, how to go through life and love and be in a relationship and take care of our parents and children and, you know, family members. And, you know, are you going to be selfish or do you? To me, this is, you know, like I really got a kick of the imbecile. Are you going to be an imbecile or are you just, you're going to pull up your pants, put on them boots and just work through situations? Sometimes something needs a strong hand. Another time something needs a tight hug. Another time somebody needs a kiss. But, you know, this is a journey all of us have to take. And yes, you can't, you know, we live in a world where everything is wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And everything is okay. Well, now that I see the relationship takes work, I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm just going to trash it and just go get a new one. But the problem is that you're just dragging that trash bag right behind you because you haven't learned from the first, second, or third, or fourth time you've been in a relationship. And, you know, these are some wise words that I like, and I enjoyed your couplet. And like you said, for to love is the easiest thing, but to be loved is the hardest thing a man must learn. And, you know, love has to be earned. Respect has to be earned. And one of the things that I do believe in, even though in your relationship, you have to allow the other person to be who they are. You can't put them in a box and make them suffocate. Fantastic poem. Fantastic read, Laurent. I mean, Frank, what did you think, Laurent? Sorry about that. I was looking at my list.
I did not mind related with Frank. Let me just start off by saying that your Oscar Wilde piece is are easily my favorite thing that you do. When you put on that persona, you do it with an assurance and an even temper and a completely, I mean, it makes so much sense. And when you say each man kills the thing he loves, I don't suppose you could say each man or woman, because that would be a little awkward. Man, you know, the species. find that believable too, because I can't imagine that women kill what they love. Women understand much more deeply, I think, than men do themselves. And when you say life can mean many things, it certainly can. And, you know, love being the ambrosia and life being the elixir that intoxicates them, well, there's a danger to intoxication because, as you say, he will be successful or fail in his attempts. And too many of us fail. Mm-hmm. When you say each man kills the things he loves, some men do it with regret. Some men do it with deceit. At the end, of course, you add the third thing, imbecility. And all of a sudden, instead of being the wise teacher giving advice to a neophyte, perhaps, he lumps himself in with a crowd, the crowd that kills the things that they love. And I found that endearing and a great way to end the piece.
Oh, I appreciate that. If I can say really briefly here, this whole series of poems are actually inspired by Oscar Wilde. I try to channel him into a certain degree there and get into the society. I learn much about his story in his life. I try to get into his mindset to think about what he would think about these certain issues that inspire me for these poems in the series of 80. I believe I have 82 of these already. I'm trying to think if I could do 100. I'm still thinking about that. But you are right. I mean, he does inspire me for his pieces there. So I find that very and a complimentary. You would say that, Laurent, about Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, you're his avatar, huh? Avatar in life.
There you go. Well, that's a compliment there.
Thank you, Laurent. And Katie, what did you think?
Oh, yes. I understand exactly what you mean by this, because you are right. Women tend to be a little bit more nurturing, and they maybe not be quite so seeking. Men have this need for power or content or devotion or all these things that make you feel good about yourself or better is something that a man definitely needs, perhaps more than a woman. Not probably not. But I think this is very true to life. I actually love this, and I love Oscar Wilde. I think his work is so good, so good. So that's also wonderful to be able to read that into this. For love is the easiest thing, but to be loved is the hardest thing man must earn. Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. I there's so much. It's so deep. I do like deep. But, yeah, definitely. So many. There's another one. Fate is an ethereal light of dawn, or the path man takes on his ultimate journey to discover himself. And it does take a brave man to start to discover himself and not just go instinct, not just go on the immediate result of a passion that you feel, and you just go head first for it. But yes, to discover himself is a wonderful thing. And it does come, unfortunately, rather late in life rather than when he really needs to do it. So yes, I think this is just, I love it. I think it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Katie. And would you like to make a comment, Grant?
Yeah, it was a fantastic read and an excellent write. You know, I think there are words to live by, and you did a great job with it. So excellent read and write. And Fallon would like to comment.
Yes, I saw she's next. Go ahead and comment, Fallon.
What really stood out the most is also the same line that everyone said it here is it's easy to fall in love and hard to be loved. And I think that's to the man himself. In order to love another human being, the man must love himself first. And that's in order to be a man. You must love the man that you have become. You cannot love a because men are so easy to fall in love with a woman, really for all the wrong reasons, and, you know, basically. And we're women. We tend more to be more logical with our falling in love. It's not so much the beauty of the skin or just these little whimsical things that men find attractive about a woman. And I think this piece is just, it has a lot of wisdom in it. It's got a lot of philosophy of life, basically, how it starts out. It says, we either we will either understand the nature of his humanity or ignore the qualities that make him humane. And that is a very punching and hard-hitting line. We will understand the nature of our humanity or, you know, or the qualities that make us humane. Either or. We all have it in us. Sometimes we are drawn not to share that with someone else. And then you go into the fate of the eternal light of the dawn and the path. We do have to discover ourselves. And sometimes it's not so savoring. And yet at the same time, all of our wrongs make something right in the end. So this is just a phenomenal rite, and it really does speak on your ability to write in a different genre. I enjoyed it.
I appreciate that.
Thank
and
you.
Those last lines, if I can say brief, that last three lines there, well, actually the last line, you cannot go back to the past. So it is pointless in that regard. That's why it has to be a lesson learned.
Right.
Agreed.
Thank you, everyone, for your fantastic poem and wonderful comments and insight. Okay, we're ready for the next poem, Katie.
Okay, now I put this one up a little earlier than I should have done. So can everybody see it? The one by Duke.
The Duke, yeah. Yes.
Has everybody got it? Yes.
Yes.
I'm having so much fun tonight. Another nervous breakdown. Yes. Laurent, could you read this, please? Or it's not a SoundCloud, is it? No.
I'd love to read this. This is called Nepenthes bocorensis. Sexy little thick pot. Soil so naughty. Always a little moist. I want it right on the windsill. Let the neighbors watch. Not shy in the partial sun. Just like that. Mix my soil. Give me every drop of fertilizer because I like it hot. Steam above 69. Oh, my God. Do it just like that. Grow it bigger. Not bragging. I told you how I'm on. And
since my cheeks hurt so much from laughing and smiling, I'm going to give I shall comment shortly. What did you think? And you did such a fabulous job in reading it, Laurent. And your first comment, what did you think?
I think that I'm envious. he did a great job. He did a great job with his euphemisms and his double entendres. It was well paced. It was just long enough, and he resolved it just perfectly.
What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Well,
I would love to know.
I'm still in shock. I started to scroll and I saw the picture and I thought, hello. Okay, this is going to be interesting and nothing else. My golly. What on earth?
Yeah. And we're not sure if that's a Duke laying in between the plant, eh?
Yeah, possibly. If not, I want that plant.
I'm joking.
Okay. Oh, my God. Just like that. Mix my soil. Give me every drop of fertilizer because I like it hot, steamy. It's just beautiful. Short, sweet, to the point, which is all that you want in a lover. No, you don't. The other way around.
It ain't
so
short.
Oh, dear. Oh, my memories.
My face hurts. I'm smiling so hard. Oh my God.
Yes,
and I would.
Duke, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So much for that.
And Frank, what did you think of Dexter's poem?
Did you say Gray? I'm not sure if you said Gray or me.
Frank? I said Frank.
Oh, you said me. Well, you know, anytime the weather 69 or above, I see how the thermometer can really go haywire there. I didn't notice the picture until after the first downpour. I thought it was something else, but then I clearly saw what it was. I just say it's creative, of course, but I'm wondering there, the drops of fertilizer there, I wonder if that's really a metaphor for something else beyond just the obvious.
Yes, I think that is obvious.
Yeah, he did.
It was a great poem. I thought it was witty, very creative of him. Of course, that prompt there, I mean, who could not be drawn to that and know, you know, what the context of the poem is. So, but, you know, if I can say really quickly, I've seen these types before, these pics here that people have and do poems that are erotic, but they're based on real plants, and they're just in that formation, you know, they're shaped like that, but they're actually real plants. So that in itself, you know, I can tell how you got really influenced and inspired by this poem. He looked like he was deeply inspired there. Oh, my eyes are blinded by what I see. it must have been the peaking
goodness.
Heat there. We're not going to get into that. We went from hummingbird the other day to this now.
Oh, I remember the hummingbird. That was so good.
Well, that's for
Wednesday. They grow wild in Cambodia. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh.
Are they talking about the same thing?
You get to go look at figures. Yes, we are.
No, the hummingbird. No, I'm talking about the hummingbird.
Oh, no.
You're veering off the subject.
No, I'm not going to be naughty tonight.
Well, you know,
I will be a good girl.
It's not Wednesday. It's like you're talking from experience there.
You know, that's a deep-throated plant. Oh, my gosh. And
practices growing skills frequently.
Yeah. And this is Fallon, what did you think of Dexter's poem?
I would have, let me tell you, like I said, he's a grower and a shower, but I would have had this on my porch. I had this busybody lady, and she would just always ask me, I think your plants are dying. I think your plants are dying. Well, they probably were because I worked so much. I'd love seeing her face when she seen that. I'd been like, yeah, you know, hoes like me, we grow our own roots. That's what I'd have told her. But this is just, you know, I absolutely love it. And I looked, I was like, well, wait a minute. Was that what I think it is? It is not. But let me tell you, if a man didn't work, you could teach that thing to get a job, you'd have life made. I tell you. So.
Yeah, I've got to say, I enjoyed the way this was read. I actually just like, I think like everybody else did, I did a double take, but what I really loved was where he talks about that moist soil and fertilizer, because I like it hot, steamy, above 69. Oh, my God.
That doesn't grab you. Doesn't grab you then.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. That was an unexpected surprise. That's what I told you. I never read my poems ahead of time, so it's always like a Cracker Jack toy that I never know what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dexter. And I loved everybody's comments, and we are ready for our next poem.
Okay, the next one is Lucifer's Last Embrace by Arcana Amour. And I think there's a SoundCloud for this one.
Yes, there is. Great.
Okay. to revel in thine eyes and plot thy misbegotten schemes, that thou may taketh mine place to sit astride mine peaceful throne, consumed by lust and greed for power. How far thou hast fallen.
Speak not to me of thy holy virtue that demandeth such reverence, for I knoweth of mine own importance and commandeth thy respect. How I despise thine sanctimonious order thou hast decreed. I seek to awakeneth the slumber o'er thy coveted creation.
I have trusted thee to stand beside me and bestow thee great rank. Thy foolish pride hath deceived and corrupted thine own grace. Now thee plots to overthrow mine kingdom and usurp the realm of heaven. Those loyal to mine embrace in turn will shall ne'er follow thee.
Thou speakest to me of love. 'Tis but a notion, a mere token of coupling. Thine mortals shalt be shown the glory and joy of untamed sinful depravity. This kingdom hath been ruled by thine pitiful pious word long enough. The time is nigh for thine reckoning, for mine army hath gathered behind me.
Mine soldiers of light hath assembled to teach thee thine place. I shall shed tears for thee, and those who choose to fall midst thine revolt. Know this once, once fallen, I shall cast thee and thine minions below. Unto the lake of fire, I shall grant thee the key to await thy judgment.
Mine hoard shalt vanquish thine simpering servile soldiers. Mine wrath awaiteth to tasteth Michael's defeat and claim thine reign. Judgment is mine to seize. Knowest thy regal rule all. Keepest thine key, for it shall keep thee warm during the cold to cometh.
Lucifer, thy slithering tongue hath blinded. Thou art truly deceived. Thou hast become naught but a blind dragon. Thine radiance shines darkly. Thine power shall falter over the fallen world and a host of demons therein, that thine sorrowful dream shall be smited to fall like lightning from heaven.
Thou knowest not the limit of mine might. Thou is comforted by false faith, for I would rather rule in such nether domain than remain here to serve thee. But thou shalt taste the whip of mine tail as I sweep down the stars. All that shalt remain is desolation and sufferance beyond thy view.
Nay, heed me well. For I have shown thee great patience and nurture. Unto this day thou hast been granted great esteem upon thy wings. Now I give unto thee a lasting grace, as I summon my faithful unto the breach. This day shalt create a divide in heaven, that thee shalt come up to know it well. As hell.
You know, that was just a chilling, dark performance by Arcana. I was looking at his notes, and he was saying that this is the tale of the devil being cast down from heaven into the fiery pit. And I really love the imagery and where he points that out here, where he said, Lucifer, thy slithering tongue hath blinded thee, thou art truly deceived, thou hast become a knot, but a blind dragon, thy radiance shines darkly, thine power shall falter over the fallen world and a host of demons therein, that thine sorrowful dream shall be smitted to the fall like lightning from heaven. Oh, the imagery was just so powerful there and riveting. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, powerful production. Wonderful. Different voices there, so that you knew there was characters within it. The music in the background is always so wonderful. I love that. It adds so much to it. But the penultimate stanza. Whoa. Basically, the fallen angel is saying that he would rather rule in hell than be told what to do. And so that's it, as far as he's concerned. He's not having any of it, and off he goes and takes his other demons with him, quite a few.
Yeah.
But yes, there we have the beginning of what was the tussle between good and bad and light and dark and all the things that we have in our lives. That, although temptation is temptation because it's something interesting or something you would like to try. Yeah, something you might like to try, but you know probably it's not the right thing to do, but that's it, that's temptation. Who said, I can resist anything but temptation? Was it Oscar Wilde?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but yeah, I love that one. That is wonderful. Beautiful production, as usual. Very deep, very dark, very wonderful. So thank you, Arcana, for sharing.
Indeed. You know, power can cause so many issues if it's wielded wrong. Exactly. And what did you think about this poem, Frank?
First of all, I thought it was a wonderful production there. As an actor myself, I always enjoy performance pieces here. I was a bit puzzled at first with the voices there. I heard an echo there. But for a moment, I thought it was a collab with Selena. I thought it was Selena doing one of the voices there. I wasn't certain, but or it could have been him using a device there, altering his voices as well. If he did that, I thought he was a genius doing that. I thought the poem was just fantastic. The whole notion of Lucifer's last embrace, his I would say his exile from the celestial heaven that we all know about, and you know, stories and in the Bible. This was just a pure pure, fantastic rendition of a narrative that we are very much acquainted with, the fallen grace of the fallen angel, that is Lucifer. Great job. Great, great, great read.
Yeah.
And a great poem.
Thank you. And what did you think of the poem, Gray Eye?
I thought it was an epic tale of, you know, good versus evil, and the battle that happens therein, and I thought it was just beautifully presented.
Agreed. I do. And thank you, Arcana. And now we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay, okay. We have Keep Your Heart Open by Lou Woodfay. And I haven't read anything for a while, so if nobody minds, I'm going to dive in. Mm-hmm. Like you, Lou, I don't read anything beforehand. So, you know, you get a lovely surprise.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So, my body armor was ripped to shreds by accusations, absurd, hateful, and hurtful words. I could have stayed away for fear of what they would say. They got on my last nerve. What purpose would returning serve? And I hate to admit it, going back into that lion's den was critical. How can they possibly see the change created in me if I didn't show them the good in me that's spiritual? They ripped through my heart, nearly tore it apart. Yet I returned without judgment, but with grace. They begged my forgiveness. Please see that in us. We are so sorry. We both made a mistake. It's the strangest feeling when a heart begins healing, because love can enter if your heart. Love can't enter if your heart is closed. Those scars disappear when you lose all your fear and trust in spirit by being fully open and exposed. Light enters in, and that's when the magic begins. Healing starts by keeping an open heart. End of poem.
Lovely read, Katie, and what a beautiful poem by Woodfay. She says here that it can take a lifetime to get there. And, you know, and that's true, you know, not everything is so easy to work through. Some things we can correct and move on. Other things take time to work through, which everybody should be given time to work through the issues that they have. And, you know, yeah, you're right. Sometimes people, you can say you're sorry, but sorry to me is more important when you say you're sorry, that you see the actions behind this. And, it, you know, even though you say you're sorry and though you can't see the change that is created in them, they will eventually see it in their actions. And, you know, I thought this was where she said, this was so painful. They ripped through my heart, nearly tore it apart. Yes, I returned without judgment, without grace. They begged for forgiveness. Please see that in us. We're so sorry. We both made a mistake. You know, and it's, you know, apologies need to come from both sides and work toward both sides. And it is so hard when you change and other people haven't seen the change. And, you know, they attack you. Words cut like razors and they hurt deeply. And I thought that she did a wonderful job in expressing herself here. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Yeah, I know we're running out of time here. I'll be brief. This was just a remarkable night. Tribulation one has to experience, you know, and find some drug in or to recover, you know, to the heart there, because
mm-hmm.
you know we depend so much on it, you know, and what people do to us at times, we keep us that negativity. Sometimes we struggle to really, you know, not consume us, you know. So it's a good moral to this at the end. It's not to adhere to it as well. Great poem.
Great. And Greg, what did you think of the poem?
I liked it. Katie did a great job reading it. And, you know, we really must learn to keep our hearts open. Otherwise, we we fade away into darkness, and if we're not letting light in. So, light enters in, and that's where the magic begins. Healing starts by keeping an open heart. And as hard as that is, it's something that we all must do. So, beautifully expressed. And read, Weaver.
Thank you, Gray. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem you read?
Yes, it's the hardest thing, especially as you go through life, to try and keep an open mind and an open heart, because you're waiting for the next arrow or the next stab in the back. It's difficult to trust because of the stupidity of this world, where people will hurt rather than face something. They'll blame someone else rather than admit they're at fault. So I think this is just, this explains and expresses it all so perfectly. They ripped through my heart, nearly tore it apart, yet I returned without judgment, but with grace. So that's a brave person that can do that, open themselves to what's not nice again. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Lou. Lovely.
Thank you. And, you know, it's just when you get hurt, it's very difficult not to let your heart get hardened. But then, you know, then we become like them. So just strive. Like Grace said, keep your heart open. And I think we have enough time for one more poem, Katie. You can sneak one in.
Okay. We've got Weapons and Wounds by Silent Tree. Would you like to read this one?
Yes, I would. Yes. And give me just a second. My screen went all the way down to the bottom of the page. Okay, here we go.
I don't know why it does that. It's so annoying.
It makes me angry. Here we go. Weapons and Wounds by Silent Tree. Casting out dried rose petal memories into a resinous stone fireplaces of time. Copper flames licking to ashen pages. Brick chimneys crown midnight's mantle. Gnarled ghosts, remories of twisted grains. The pale smoke released caged birds with stained glass wings of cellophane, an old feather quilled finger, the weapon, a fresh woven parchment of my womb, as shadows within embrace the light in poem. Oh, what a sad and beautiful poem. Let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, yes. Very atmospheric, and the visions it gave me was so clear, but now the ghost grimoires of twisted grains, the pale smoke released caged birds, very, very well written, and I like it a lot. I'm not going to say too much because we don't have much more time, but it was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And we have 90 seconds left. Frank, would you like to make a comment, please?
Yes, I'll be brief. I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful poem. Incredible metaphors. It was a great read.
Great. And Gray, comment, please.
Sure. I enjoyed the intonation of an old feather quilled finger, the weapon of flesh woven parchment of my wounds as the shadows within embrace the light. Beautiful. Beautiful read. Excellent.
Yeah.
Read.
That was the three lines that I really loved, because it made me think sometimes our feathered finger, our quill, is a weapon that when we to express ourselves, to let out those emotions that we normally can't let out, we can scribble that blood flesh on these parchment of the wounds and lift the light in as we release the pain that we're going through. I want to thank everybody for calling the show. Feel my eyes backing me up. And Pam, I really appreciate it. And Laurent and Katie and Frank and Gray and Felon and Robbie, thank you for hanging out. And Dexter, shame on you. I keep seeing that plant in my head. I'm going to have weird dreams tonight. Good night, everybody.
It's all natural.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God.
I love you guys.
You something like...
Thank you, Grace. Oh, I love
Take
you guys.
Care.
Wonderful.
Good night,
wonderful
everybody.
Night again. Good
much
night.
Love.
Thank
great.
You. Thank
good
you.
Take
great
care.
Show. Love you
Buenas
guys.
Noches.
Buenas noches. Besos a todos.
Besitos.
Kisses to everybody. Besitos.
Oh, kiss, 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 kiss. Bye.
Kiss, 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 kiss.
Don't forget to turn off the light bulb there, Weaver.
I will, and I'll pull the candle out as well.
Think about the plant. You won't be thinking about the light bulb, Katie.
I'll be thinking about blowing
yeah.
out the candle.
it might be stiff by then.
Oh, no. Oh, Frank.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I,
my goodness.
I love innuendo. I do love it. I love innuendo. Keep going.
Yeah, we do.
Good night, my darling.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Take care.